the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He's teaching and I'm learning to lean.
Ladies, appreciate that. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Thank you. Brother Steve, come real quick. You're next. What are you doing? Oh, thanks. Yeah, appreciate it. I have a cough. I don't know what it is. It's very irritating. And I've taken cough medicine, and I think I forgot to take it this morning, and I think I forgot to take it this afternoon, too, so... At any rate, we'll get through it. And Bob brought me some medicine, and Beck brought me some medicine, and I had some. So with all of that, I should do pretty good. So we'll make it through. Tonight I want to talk to you about the purpose of Heritage Baptist Church. We went through a study many years ago, but we've really never gone back over our purpose. I think when you think of the church that you go to, sometimes people will ask you, well, what is your church about? What do you do as a church? And I think it's good to have some idea, amen, to be able to state, well, Heritage Baptist Church, this is what they stand for. This is who they are. These are some of the things that we do as a ministry, but this is also the purpose for which we exist. And I think if we're not careful, that if we don't understand the purpose for which we're here, the Lord established for the New Testament church to be, we will fall into a lot of things that we shouldn't be. In fact, I was looking at this and thought of Johnny Cochran when he said, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Remember that with O.J. Simpson? And I thought, if it doesn't fit, it's not legit. So, if you look at your purpose or the purpose for Heritage Baptist Church, if we do something that's not in that purpose, then it's not really legitimate to the ministry of Heritage. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the purpose. And I look at three different passages of Scripture, and there are probably other passages we could turn to. There are other places that we could find in Scripture, but I think these really state in a great way, in a clear way, what the purpose of our church is. So I want to read through the first one in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And I want to talk to you about these five purposes. Now, what you've been given in, hopefully you have one of these, if not, you've been given a purpose statement. Now, I'm going to add to that tonight because I realize that when we have our new members class, our vision statement is kind of a little bit different, but it adds to the purpose of Heritage Baptist Church, so I'm going to add that to that tonight. We'll talk about that at the end. But again, knowing what your church is about, what it stands for, why we're here, and what we're to do, I think is very important. It gives us, again, a purpose, a reason for being, amen? We're not just a church to be a church. We're a church that has a reason, has something to do, something to accomplish, something that's worth being a part of. And so I want to share these five things, I believe, from these three passages of Scripture that clearly define who we are. And the first one I think is very important, we've already talked about that, is this aspect of evangelism. Heritage Baptist Church is to be an evangelizing church. In other words, we're to spread the gospel. We're to tell people about Jesus. And again, in verses 19 and 20 of Matthew 28, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So the first thing that Heritage Baptist Church is to be is to make sure that we're telling people about Jesus, that we have some ministry that we can plug into that will allow us to evangelize others, that we're also not only concerned about our city or our location, but we're also concerned about the world. In fact, if you go with me over to Acts chapter 1, you find this passage, and many of you are very familiar with this, in verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now the word "both" there has to do with both at the same time. In other words, I'm not going to evangelize St. Augustine, and then once I get St. Augustine evangelized, then I'll spread out to the outlying areas and cities, and then to the rest of the state, and to the country, and then once all of that is evangelized, then I'm going to go to the world. No, it's doing it all at the same time. In other words, I'm going to have home missions here, and then I'm going to have foreign missions abroad. I'm going to be doing it all at the same time. I'm going to be having some kind of visitation, some kind of outreach, some kind of soul winning, some way here that we get out into our city, we go into this community that God has given us and tell them about Jesus Christ. The reason for our door-to-door, when we go and hang door flyers on doors, and there's other ways to do it. Some people knock and talk to the people, and we've done that for years. I don't know why we're doing it differently now. I'm not sure. We may go back to that. But one of the reasons is to not only invite them to church, let them know about Heritage Baptist Church, but also on that door hanger is the gospel, how to get to heaven from St. Augustine. And a person can read that, and there's enough scripture and enough explanation for someone to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Again, Tuesday night is the same way. There's no magical night of the week to go visiting. And you want to visit and you can't make it to Tuesday night, make it some other night. But we give you that opportunity on Tuesday night. And we come together on Tuesday night at 6:30, and we go out and we visit. A lot of times we'll visit new move-ins, or we'll visit people that's visited our church. And sometimes, you know, again, it will be people in the hospital or whatever. But our main emphasis when we're talking to lost people is to present the gospel, to share Jesus Christ. The reason that we have the flea market is the same way. In fact, we had a couple here today that Kathy invited and came today, all because of the flea market. I called them, and sometimes I can't find people at home. They were there and really enjoyed our service and appreciated Kathy inviting them, and they're wanting to come back. Again, an evangelism tool. We have, excuse me, started also sending a simple letter. We talked to you about this, and a flyer of the church, and a track, soul winning track. And we started sending that to everyone in our city. We want to do all that we can to share the gospel with everyone in our city. We want everyone to know about Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to accept him. But at the same time, the reason that we have some 20 or 30 missionaries, foreign and home missionaries, is so that the gospel can be spread in other areas other than ourselves at the same time. I believe there are church services that are going on and people being saved and those that have been called to preach being trained and things going on all of the time during the week while we're at sleep. There are activities in other parts of the world, our missionaries that we support, that are carrying on this same aspect of the Great Commission. Never lose sight of the importance it is for our church to be reaching people for Christ. Once a church decides that that's not solely important, then they begin to die, that there's something in their the aspect of their church life that begins to die. I've heard it said by someone that we ought not to be so pushy with getting lost people saved. We ought to give them a break and not be so focused on that, and not be so determined to see lost people saved. And I want you to know, folks, if we're not determined, why are we here? Amen. The main purpose that Jesus came was to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19:10. And if that's not why we're here, then folks, there's something wrong with what we're doing. Secondly, I want you to see also that not only is this aspect of evangelism found in this passage of Scripture, but this aspect of discipleship. The Bible goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now I want you to see, there's this the second aspect, the second purpose of Heritage Baptist Church is to be a discipling church. Sunday school is a great beginning. It locks you into a place where you can go with a group of people basically your age, and you can be taught the truths of the Word of God. You can be taught what the Word of God says. You can be taught how it affects your personal life, and so on and so forth. And so that's the beginning. We also have in place a one-on-one discipleship. Brother Matt's going to be baptized tonight, and he's going to be going through our one-on-one discipleship. We're going to take him really through our new members class first, and then from that into our one-on-one discipleship. I'm excited about being able to disciple him and to have that time with him. But I want you to know, discipleship and understanding God's Word, and from understanding God's Word, understanding God's plan for me is very important. Folks, listen, we need to understand something. There are some specific truths found in the Word of God that you and I need, amen? We need to know what God says. We need to know how to fulfill what God says. We need to know the promises of what God says if we fulfill them. We need to know how to live for God and what He expects. And so discipleship lays that groundwork. It gives us that foundation to base our life. And churches, listen, churches that have a discipleship program are doing themselves a great service, because what happens, it allows people to be grounded and firm in the truths of God's Word, and lets them know what God expects, what God wants for them. So HBC needs to be an evangelizing church. It needs to be a discipling church. Next, it needs to be a ministering church. In Acts chapter 2, we go there. In Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Now I want you to know that this early church, this church we find, had ministry. They were ministering to the specific physical needs of each other, but they were also ministering to the spiritual needs of each other. And you know, when you come at Heritage, that's why we have Sunday school, to give a specific ministry. There are other places of service, learning how to interpret and interpret for the deaf, learn how to sign and interpret for the deaf. You can work in the nursery. You can be on our fellowship committee. You can help us cut grass. And we need some more guys to help us cut grass. But there's always something that's ministering. And ministering is giving your life for the Lord Jesus Christ in some way, shape, or form of service. It may be singing a special, and I'm thankful for those that do. They do a great job and minister to my heart. But there's an outreach that you can minister to the lives of others. One of the things that you can do is, ladies, I would encourage you to call Diana Hinman and just let her know that you're praying for her. Her husband's overseas in Iraq now, and I guess going to Afghanistan a little bit later on. Is that right? He's going to stay in Iraq? Okay. And it would be good for you and her number's in the phone book. Just to give her a call, and if you don't get her and you just leave a message, that's good. She'll pick the message up and realize you're praying for her, you're concerned about her, and you just wanted to call her. But there was ministry in that church. There was people giving their lives to serve other people, and we see that very pointedly. And a church needs to be a ministering church, meeting the needs of other people, helping them to grow in the Lord, helping their physical needs, but also helping them with their spiritual needs. And that's why there's a lot of different things that people can do around here. You know, one of the great things about discipleship that I shared with Matthew, that I've shared with you, is that discipleship is not the end in itself. When you go through it, that's not the end. It's not just enough for you to grow and know these foundational truths. But you know, the great thing about it is that it gives you a plan. It gives you a way to take discipleship and share it with other people. In other words, the end result is for you to take what you've learned, 2 Timothy 2:2, and share it with faithful men who shall be able to share it with others also. So what I want to do is with discipleship is I want to disciple Matt, and I'm going to do it in such a way that he learns how to disciple, and then he becomes secure in that discipleship. We don't force anybody to do that if they don't want to. Some people just don't feel secure at that point. But when he does, and if he does, then we'll give him somebody to disciple. And we'll allow him to disciple someone. And what's going to happen there? He's going to teach that person those lessons on discipleship. They're going to see how that they were discipled. And he's going to teach them at the end how to disciple somebody. Not to reinvent the wheel, but do it just like we do it. Not because we do it right, but this is the way we do it. And then to take that person and give that person someone to disciple. And allow them to share the foundational truths of the Word of God with them. You think about that, folks. If I'm growing to that place and I can disciple and I bear fruit in somebody else's life to the place that they're discipling somebody and I'm ministering to them, what is happening? Listen, there is a growth of ministry in the church. Great possibilities. And that's what the church is about. You say, someone says, what is Heritage Baptist Church is about? Well, it's about evangelizing the lost. It's about discipling the saved. And it's about ministering to the spiritual and physical needs of those in the church. But fourthly, and this is one everyone likes, it's about fellowship. Amen? In fact, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I think if we have a fellowship without food, it is unscriptural. Because they broke bread here. Amen? They had some fellowship with some food. And that's why we have food a lot. We are really ultra scriptural. But fellowship. Now, folks, fellowship is important. It encourages and challenges the body. It helps us to get to know each other a little bit better. Amen. So many times on Sunday mornings, we are busy. You know, we're busy teaching a Sunday school class. We're busy interpreting and teaching the deaf. We're busy getting our song ready. We're busy helping in the nursery or cleaning up after the morning breakfast, fellowship breakfast. We're doing something. And then, you know, it's hard to always fellowship with everybody. But you know, you can come. The Joy Class is going to have a fellowship Saturday at 5:30 here at the church. We can come at the for that fellowship. You know, we're not hurrying around. We're not having to do this and do that. There's no time frame. We can just sit down and enjoy one another's company. There is something about that that builds a church. I believe, folks, it may not be as important to have as many as we have, but I believe it's very important for the church to fellowship together. Next Sunday night, we'll be having our snack attack. Thank you. I forgot what we called it. Sunday night after church, snack attack. And by the way, if you have some games you'd like to bring, please remember to do that. We'll be having some ice cream, and I don't know what else, but we'll be having some of that and enjoying that, and have some of those. We'll have something for those that can't eat ice cream, but at any rate, we'll be having that, having some fellowship, playing some games after church, just having a good time to sit around. I can remember the first time we did that. Jared brought his Wii, and they were playing, they were bowling, I think, and some of our joy class got to start in bowling. Man, I didn't think we'd ever get them off that machine. It got red hot. They were bowling for so long and everything, and enjoyed it. You know, that's what fellowship is about. We need to enjoy that. We're having a Saturday morning, a fellowship for all of our teens that come to the youth rallies. All the churches are going to gather together at Treaty Park, and we're going to do that just to have a time of fellowship, to get our youth rallies started in the right way and do something a little bit different, just to fellowship with one another and get to know each other. That's important. What is Heritage Baptist Church about? It's about people that love to be with each other and fellowship together. Boy, I'd hate to go to a church where there's so much animosity and disunity that they don't fellowship because no one likes to be with each other. Or when they do, this crowd fellowships with their this group, and this crowd over here fellowships with their group. Man, I'd hate to do that. Lastly, HBC is about worship. Matthew chapter 22, turn there with me if you will. Verses 37 through 40. HBC is to be a worshiping church. Verse 37 says, Jesus said unto him, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first great commandment. Second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I'll tell you, the word worship comes from two words, worth-ship. Amen? And when you think of the Lord Jesus, He is worthy, amen, of anything and everything. In fact, He is most of all worthy of our love. And we're to love Him with all of our heart, all of our being, everything inside and everything outside, and nothing else is to be loved above Him. Nothing is to be loved more than Him. No one or nothing else is to even be close to Him in the way that we love Him. It should be so great that Jesus talked about that love being so great, it looks in comparison to the love of our parents as hate for them. My friend, when you and I come to this place, it should be an expression of our love to God that we come to worship Him, to express our love for His goodness and His blessing and His mercy and the salvation that we have. And what we do is we bring Him and say, He is worthy of all that we have, all that we are, and our love is greater for Him than anything else. There's no one else that we love above Him. That's what real worship is. That's what real worship says. And when you and I come to Heritage Baptist, it's not to be entertained. Amen, it's to worship. I know that sometimes that there can be funny times, but when it gets down to it, the truth of the matter is worship is very serious. Amen. We are honoring God. We are drawing attention to Him. We're wanting our lives to draw closer to Him. We're saying that He is the Lord of our life, not only Savior of our soul. We're saying that I have surrendered all. I've given up everything to follow Him and do what He wants me to do. You see, my friend, worship is very important. In today's church, in today's world, we've come to the place where we like to entertain, and it's got to be something that we think that we have to draw a large crowd. There's nothing wrong with large crowds. But too many times, the church becomes an entertainment center and not a place of worship. Listen, Jesus kicked out the money changers at the temple for misusing what the temple was to be for. And I wonder how much so-called worship is not even recognized before God because it's nothing but fleshly entertainment. You know, something else we need to say about worship is preparing our own heart. When you come to church, are we just coming to church to come? Or are we coming to worship? Do I have a pure and holy heart? Have I prayed and asked the Lord to speak to me? You know, sometimes the message that we give may be a message that you've heard 1,000 times. But there may be something in that message that God would speak to your heart if you came with a pure heart, desiring to hear from God. John 3:16 may be a passage that you've heard, and I've preached a series of messages, probably several series of messages on John 3:16, but there's always something that God can encourage and challenge your heart. There may be something that you learn new. There may be something that God shows you, even about John 3:16. But when you come and you ready yourself for worship, when the Word of God is given and the songs are being sung and the offering plate is being passed, I want you to know, listen, it is an expression of your worship to God. I don't know who told me this, and I'm not sure I was discussing the offerings with somebody, and I can't remember who it was. And they were saying that at their church that they did the offering at the tail end of the service, the very end of the service, and basically had offering plates put somewhere. And there's nothing wrong with that. However you take the money. If you take it with a baseball bat then and you can get it. Amen? But for me, my personal opinion, this is my personal opinion, you can take it for what it is. I think that giving is a way of worship. I don't put singing at the end, amen? And I don't put preaching somewhere where it's not in, where it seems to be insignificant. And to me, that seems to be in where it doesn't place a great importance. And again, that's my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. I think giving is as much a form of worship. And the reason that we give during the worship service and in, as a part of the worship service is because I believe that giving, from a scriptural standpoint, is a way of worshiping God. You sing the songs, you worship God. We pray, we worship God. We preach, we worship God. And we give together and we worship God. And you say, well, Brother Gary, can't we worship God and give the offering at the end? Yeah, you probably could. But again, I've given you my opinion. When I write my commentary and I get wealthy from all of those of you that are going to buy it, it will be in there too. And you will say, he's stupid and that's dumb, and tear out that page. And again, when a person takes an offering, it doesn't matter and how he takes it. I was in a church one time, it was a black church, and they had ladies deaconesses, and they were fit to be tied. Man, they had these real sharp-looking white outfits on and caps, and they would go down each row, and it was very well organized. And the church ran about 300, 400 in that service. And they had the offering plates up front. Well, the deaconesses would go and point to a row, and they would come, and I'm telling the pastor was right there. Now, I'm telling you what, putting some pressure on people. Here's the deaconesses pointing at you, and everybody in the church are seeing you going by the offering. And the pastor, we were talking about that later, he laughed. He said, yeah. He said, you know what? We used to do it the way you guys did it. He said, we found out we put a little pressure on our brothers. They're going to give some money. They don't want to look cheap out in front of the audience. So they're going to give some. The offering increased quite a bit. Next week, ladies, we're going to have a special class on deaconesses and... So the HBC, what are we about? We're an evangelizing church. We're a discipling church. We're a ministering church. We're a fellowshipping church. And we're a worshiping church. Why? Because the church will grow larger with evangelism. Think about it. The more people we win, and we're not going to baptize everybody, but there'll be a greater portion of those being baptized and added to the church. We'll grow deeper through discipleship. We'll have a deeper understanding of Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him. We'll grow broader through ministry. We'll add more ministries. We've had to do that. And we're going to have to do that now with our nursery. Why? We're growing as a church. We're needing people to step up and say, hey, I will volunteer. I will take that class. I will be a part of that. I will do that job. I will cut that grass. I will learn sign language. I will sing a song. I will help with fellowship. I will change a diaper. God hasn't called me there yet. Also, we'll grow warmer through fellowship. Well, I'll tell you what. I'd hate to go to a church and skate down the aisles. They're so cold. And there's some churches that you literally can do that. Baptist churches as well as others. And you can just skate. There's a coldness about that. You know, thank God when people come to our church. And I've not asked them, but they'll say this, one of the friendliest churches I've been to. People came up and shook my hand and introduced themselves to, thank God. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for expressing the love of God to those people and letting them know that we love them and want them and are happy that they're here. But a church will grow warmer. And then lastly, a church will grow stronger through worship. We'll unite together. We'll have the same focus, the same purpose, the same doctrine, the same understanding of God's plan and purpose, and we will fill that out. We will be a stronger people for it. Now let me ask you this question then. Are these purposes your purposes too? When we think about that, we've kind of developed something that I've shared with you. It says the purpose of Heritage Baptist Church is to glorify God in our lives and through our ministries. But I like this next part that Brother Aaron added or put into our new members class. And it said to know God and make Him known through worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism. We not only want to glorify God, but we want to know Him. In fact, they probably should be reversed. We need to know the Lord, and as we know the Lord, we'll glorify the Lord. But at any rate, we want to accomplish this. And how are we going to do this? Well, we've taken the word glorify, because that's the ultimate purpose of man. And this is what we want to do. We want to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, according to Mark 16:15. We want to live a holy and pure and consecrated life that pleases God and is a testimony to others, according to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 16, we want to offer praise and worship and thanks to God continually, Hebrews 13:15 and Ephesians 5:20. We want to realize that it's our reasonable service to be faithful to God, according to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. We want to incorporate God's word and prayer in our hearts and lives, according to Psalm chapter 19 and verse 11 and Philippians 4:6. We want a fellowship with the family of believers through the local church, according to Hebrews chapter 10, 22 through 25. And then lastly, we want to yield to the leadership and power of the Holy Spirit, because, listen, that's where it will come into fruition as a unit, as a building, when the power of that Holy Spirit is in us, working in us, and among us. Ephesians 5:18 and Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Let me ask you, what's your purpose for living for God, for coming to church, for ministry? What's your purpose? What's the reason? Are you here to glorify God? Is it something that you're just doing to take up a position? Maybe you're doing it for self-glorification. I don't think any of our workers are doing it. I don't see them doing that. But maybe they are, and I just don't know it. But you know what? We have a purpose. We have a reason for being here. There's something that says this is why we do what we do. And it's found in God's Word. And it gives us what God says is why we should be continuing doing what we're doing. Maybe do it better. Maybe do it differently. Amen. But continue doing what we're doing. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for this night and this time around God's Word. We're thankful for these truths that we've talked about. Help us to realize the purpose and how we do that through glorification. And dear God, help us all to be that person, that one that will glorify the Lord and that will find that purpose of knowing the Lord and making Him known to others around us and to the world that we live in. Lord God, now just to instill that unity, that love, that Holy Spirit power in our lives, that we will truly continue to be a church that pleases You, that has a burden for lost people and a desire to minister to the spiritual and physical needs of others around us. Help us, dear Lord, to be that church that You're pleased with, and dear God, that is faithful when You come back. And Lord God, we're just going to ask these things be done in Jesus' name, and for His sake we pray. Amen.